Blog Talk Radio.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Fulfilling my own destiny. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in this great big vast world of ours. You are listening to Purpose Talk Radio, and I am your host, Cindy Freeman. Today is March 30th, 2018, and for some people that means celebrating Good Friday. For some it's Passover, for some it's spring, for some it's just another Friday, and whatever that means for you. We're going to be talking a little bit about that today as we talk about spiritual purpose and purposeful spirituality. I have a couple of guests that have called in that will be joining me here. And I would like you to join in the conversation as well. And how are we going to do that? There's a couple ways that you can. One is to join us by calling in directly at 347-205-9074, 347-205-9074. Another one would be is to go to the chat room on the Purpose Talk Radio, on the Blog Talk Radio, Purpose Talk Radio chat room, and that is just you scroll down the show page if you are there. The conversation there does continue through the show, but once the show ends, all of that discussion goes away. So if you are on Facebook, I invite you to continue this conversation, and those who listen to the show also would end up over there preferably, so that we do have the conversation continuing after the show. And there is a post that is pinned to the top of that so that you can put your comments, questions, feedback in there. Again, especially if you are listening to this show archived. The song you just heard is by the group True Trinity. The vocalist on that is Jillian Clark. The writers of that, Jillian, Rachel Grace, and myself. And you can find them at truetrinity.com. The Purpose Talk Radio is brought to you every Friday, noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. UK. And what we do is we discuss topics related to living your purpose. Our guests discuss how they came to achieve their purpose, how they came to know it, hopefully can share a couple of ideas with you on how to live your purpose. Now, that means anything from being the person who washes windows on a business to the CFO of a billion-dollar company. It does not matter. If you believe you are living your purpose, we'd love to have you be able to share it on this show. You can do that by sending me an email to cindy@purposetalkradio.com, C-I-N-D-Y at P-U-R-P-O-S-E-T-A-L-K-R-A-D-I-O.com. And we'd love to schedule you into the programming and let you share your purpose with the world. We also have an opportunity if you have products or services that you'd like to share with people, and you can be a part of that as well. So having said all of that, I'm going to bring in our guests this week, and I forgot to ask them about a positive news story. So I don't know if they're going to have one or not, but we'll come up with something as far as a discussion. So, well, our guests joining me today are Vivian Probst and Anne Wondra. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello, Cindy.
So thank you for joining me on this spiritual day, or this Friday, depending upon how you look at it. I do tend to try to share a positive news story, and I did not even give you a heads up on that. But I know that is something that is near and dear to both of you as well as myself, just from our previous discussions, both on the show and out of it. Is there anything that you know occurred in the news this week that was considered a positive story that you'd like to share? And I'll put you on a last minute thing here, but I thought I'd try it anyway.
Yeah, I think I don't have one in particular, but I do love the positive stories that come through on Facebook when somebody has been particularly generous to a person in need, or some marvelous or almost miraculous event has occurred and it's shared there. I think Facebook can be a blessing and a not blessing, but that's where I pick up most of what's good about life and what's good about the world. So I love it for that.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. And I agree with you there. I've kind of screened out the ones that are not. If somebody's
yes.
kind of, and, you know, everybody has a bad day, so that's, you know, a different story. But some of these things that want to complain or, you know, put out the bad in the world, I've kind of screened out a lot of those, and it's kind of nice that we have that opportunity to do that now.
It is.
So, excuse me, I'm trying not to cough anybody's ear because I'm still hanging on to the end of this. No, it's trying to hang on to me. Let me reword that. and I refuse to let it. So the topic for today, put out for this show, just evaded me, is spiritual purpose and purposeful spirituality. And I know for a lot of people today is considered Passover. For others, it's considered Good Friday. Like I said, for others, it may just be another day in the week. We just celebrated spring, and there's a few spiritual practices that really focus on the equinox, both especially the spring and some in the fall. We have others with the Orthodox Easter coming up next week. Easter coming up on Sunday for many people. I think there's, I cannot pronounce any of the ones. The Buddhists have a celebration, too, that was, I think, this next upcoming week. So, you know, for each of you, I'm curious, you know, what do you have a spiritual practice at this time of year that you work with in your life? Well, what do you celebrate, if anything, this time of year?
This is Anne. I don't think I have a regular spiritual practice, except that for me, life is spiritual. So it's celebrating spring. It's making the most of times with people that are important. And appreciating that what we do makes a difference. What we say, who we are, and how we live. My family that I grew up in, Easter is what's celebrated. And in the past, there was an annual tradition of coloring eggs on the Saturday afternoon or the Friday before. So that was usually something that would happen this time of year.
Okay.
I am Vivian, and I think this is an important time of year because everything comes to life.
We lost you guys. Somehow you were disconnected, ladies. So please do call back in. I don't know where they went away. Apparently, they were sharing a phone over there. So I don't know if that made a difference or what. Hopefully, they will call back in. There they are.
Did we lose each other?
Welcome back. We lost you.
phone did it. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's okay. So come on back on that, Vivian. We did not get much anything out of what you had said.
Yeah, I'm a resurrection girl. I mean, in terms of this time of year, when the earth is coming back to life after winter, this is a time when I like to think about what I want to grow, what new thing do I want to do. This is that time of year for me. And I think for people who follow a Christian tradition, this is a time of a spiritual resurrection. And I just think it's good for all of us to remember as the world comes back into spring. It also represents new life for us, however we look at it. So I'm very enthusiastic.
Yeah, same here. That was the other thing. We're fortunate to live in Wisconsin. And so you go through the winter and everything looks like it's dead or barren. And so the spring is always a reminder that looks are deceiving. Even though something looks like it's the end, there's fresh growth after. And so for me, that's the whole... That is definitely celebrated.
Right. I think I've kind of come to the same thing. I mean, I grew up in a very Christian household as well. And yes, we did the egg coloring. We usually did during the week before because we'd head out to Chicago with the family, visiting grandma and all that as we grew up. We were traveling pretty much the Saturday before. But even then, after I moved out of my parents' house, it was like, oh, I can't break that tradition, even though, mind you, I couldn't eat a dozen eggs for anything. it was like it was kind of fun to still do some of those things and go hunt through the house for the treats and things like that. You know, and some of the spiritual part of that never did hit till later when I grew up. And it's like, okay, you know, that hunting for, it's become now a hunt for, you know, a review time for me, which is interesting. Some people do it at Christmas, some do it as a new year. Now is when I tend to go, okay, is what I'm doing in my life working for me? Do I need to start something new or get rid of something that isn't working? So it's kind of taken on its own little journey here.
Yeah. There's more light in the world now.
Right. So you've both mentioned that you've had, a spiritual upbringing. And I know there are some people, again, that are maybe atheist, agnostic, Quaker. A lot of those people, again, work with just the turn of the seasons, and it's just life one day at a time as it happens, and don't look at this time of year. And I'm hoping some of those folks even call in to share, what does that mean when they've got everybody around them or many people around them doing something different or saying, oh, I'm doing this or that, and do you want to come to church with me or whatever. And how do they handle that kind of thing? But both of you have said that you've had some spiritual practice growing up. Would you like to share some of that journey with us?
Well, I grew up Catholic, so it had all the, the Lent was the Stations of the Cross and all that kind of stuff, and it was really not a happy time.
Mm-hmm.
And the giving up something for Lent, I started changing that to, because it didn't make sense to me to give something up
mm-hmm.
for Lent. So I started doing something instead that was more constructive and that was really connected to my spirituality. So one year I started going to church. There was an afternoon midweek service, and I started going to church once a week in between. And, of course, it helped that the pastor, not the pastor, but the assistant priest at the time, you know, he walked down the aisle with a gorgeous looking guy with white robes and sandals, and it's like, oh my gosh. And every time he opened his mouth, it was like there was something he was speaking at right to me of what was going on. So that was an enriching time as well. And he had, so that was a, and then one year I ended up, it was increasingly bothering me to eat meat. So one year I gave up eating meat for Lent, and I never went back. And that's when I started being a vegetarian, because that was definitely for me a spiritual thing. And so there, that was where I started switching things around. There's also who I started looking at as this Jesus guy. You know, so for me, it wasn't the stories of the cross things. It was the things that he said and the example that he led. He said we would do all these things and greater. And his friends were among all kinds of diverse peoples, including women, which was outrageous at the time. And so it was looking at how this person led his life. And even to this day, two things. One, I don't know of anybody else that we talk about how they died in such gruesome detail when we remember them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we focus on how they lived. We focus on who they were and what example and what message they left us and what legacy they left us. And the second thing is, instead of focusing in on the dark stuff, I focus in on this, I call him this Jesus guy. So it's, he's more approachable. And somebody I can, you know, I could see sitting down having a conversation. So that's where my journey has taken me, to follow the example. And oh, my symbol of spirituality is no longer a cross. It's a heart. I can't do the crosses anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wear them. I can't have them in the house. They aren't a spiritual symbol for me.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. Easter for me growing up was all about a new outfit, a new hat, and it was always cold. Easter Sunday was always cold, but we would do the family things, and we would go to church on Easter. The thing that I began to realize, as Anna's talking about, as I was growing up, is like, why if this is Jesus and he rose from the dead, why do we only celebrate that for one day, when isn't that the game changer? I mean, I ask people who are professing Christians, I even called a Christian radio station once, and I said, you know, I listen to your music, and it's all about death, and it's all about blood, but isn't Christianity really about life, and what is it if a Christian would stop and talk only about death and not about the resurrection? I was talking to a Christian friend the other day, and I just had to say, I just think you guys are, I call them cross-eyed Christians, because I just think they're so focused, and they mourn and they grieve, and then I don't see the joy of the fact that if you believe that the God of the universe rose from the dead, why are you so focused on the sorrow of it all? So it sort of upsets me, frankly, that that seems to be the focus wherever I go among Christians. And so I have a lot of respect for any belief system, I suppose, but I think the most important thing for each one of us to ask is, what am I doing with my life? All right? This is a time of new growth, new season, new everything. So I think it's really, the question is about, what am I giving my my new life attention to? What's calling to me? What purpose? What new growth am I looking forward to? And I think that's fundamentally the most important question we'll ask of ourselves at any time of the year. So,
and that makes a lot of sense.
It doesn't do a lot, and I don't know if I'm speaking just for me, but I don't know how it does a lot for people to go to their church or even wherever they worship and think about an historic event without applying the question of what does that mean to me, and what do I want to do in my lifetime? You know, history gave Jesus 33 years of life, and while we don't know much about it, we know that he was a great teacher. And so I ask myself, what's my message? What's my life really about? And this is a good time to ask that question.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's, and that's a lot of what this show's about, too. It's like, okay, here's your purpose. What do you do with it? And so the question comes to then, how has your spirituality served your purpose over the years?
Well, I really, really believe that every one of us makes a difference. As Anne has already said, we make a difference every day, no matter where we are. And I think some people get really hung up on purpose, like there has to be a plan. Now, I'm a writer, and so when I get a book idea, that becomes part of my purpose, and I work on whatever that story is going to be until I get it done, and maybe it gets published. And so I think sometimes we look at what we're doing externally as our purpose, and I get a lot of satisfaction out of writing stories, and yet I'm deeply conscious that beyond that external, this is a goal, this is something I want to accomplish in this lifetime, there are these opportunities every moment to treat each moment like I have a sacred purpose in that moment, regardless of whether I can see it or not. One of my favorite things to do is look for ways to spread joy. Wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing, and especially if I see someone who hasn't got joy, who is obviously not experiencing the joy of life, I like to somehow see if I can add the gift of a moment of time to help them remember how important they are to life. So that's what I really have fun with. And I really believe that I'm out here doing my purpose, and my career and my life purpose has been pretty clear to me and gotten a little clearer over the years. But I wonder sometimes if we ever get to look back on this lifetime, and if our real purpose was a mystery that we were solving every day, and if we might be surprised by the idea that, oh, Vivian, you have no idea what you doing that day did for that life, for that person. So I get really excited about just knowing I am on purpose, whether I feel it clearly or not.
Nice. Anne?
And this is,
Well, the spirituality affect my purpose because I was always drawn to spirituality as a kid. You know, there's that line about the first one, firstborn, dedicated to the spiritual stuff. And well, I grew up, I was always drawn to, you know, how life works and where does this divine interaction fit in. And so I went back to school and majored in religious studies. And so I went into ministry. And only I couldn't follow, and then that worked for a while, but I couldn't color inside the lines because, you know, it was too tight of a box. And the divine that I started knowing had a sense of humor. And also there was a feminine image of the divine. Mm-hmm. And so, and because I had studied religious, you know, gone for my degree in my 30s, it's like I was hearing differently, and I had more experiences under my belt, and I was asking different questions, and I was reading between the lines. And so, and I had friends of other religions, and so my path was, all right, who do you think you are that you can teach something different than the pastor does? And I had to answer that question before I could go further. And then it's just understanding that I've always been prepared for what I'm supposed to do next. Mm-hmm. And I get these little messages. I get interesting experiences that come my way. And they're not always planned. Like an hour ago, I found out we were going to be on this radio show. So, you know, it's things like that, oh, yeah, you did mention that the other day. I've forgotten. It just happens that Vivian and I are together today.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like these divine things that just fall into place and take us where we're supposed to go. And I've learned to just let go and laugh, you know, to just understand that the spirit of the universe, in my experience, has a sense of humor. And that I don't always know where the pieces are going to fit, but I see them when I look back and how one experience led to another and how one thing affected another. And so I don't know if that answered the question, but I try to also spread joy and make life easier for those that are looking at religion and it's tripping them up. I help them see a different perspective that how can you understand this in a way that feeds your spirit rather than suppresses it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think our life purpose was to be exactly who we are and be all of who we are and shine our light, not to hide.
It answered the question if you think it answered the question. How's that? I can't say whether it answers the question based on your own experience. So that's why I like these chats. It's like, well, it is, you know, whatever people believe and understand is where it is. And I as well, you know, started the, you know, my spiritual upbringing as Catholic, which I had not brought up before. And to me, it, at some point, it kind of became a little too practiced, a little too ritualistic for me, which is weird since I'm a pretty analytical, logical person. Tell me A, B, C, and D, and I'm in good shape. And yet I do have the creativity, but, you know, it's like now it's come more to a, you know, where I am, what I'm doing at the moment is my spiritual practice. I tend to try to pull God in, and think, which to me is my belief structure, otherwise known in some places, higher power in some of the activities I'm in. And it's like, okay, so I'm not doing things anymore because I fear a God and fear the punishment and the things that might come down on me if I don't do exactly what I'm supposed to do. Instead, I do it as a, because I want that connection. And I believe that every person has a, is a God being, has been created, image and likeness of God, that I've been able to accept and understand. And therefore, I try to treat everyone with that understanding. I fall down sometimes, you know. I get frustrated with people. I get angry. I get, you know, don't like the way they've handled something or said something to me, and I'll react. But at the same time, I try to come back to, okay, why am I on this earth? Why are they on this earth? What is our connection at this very moment? So.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, what were you going to say?
Yeah,
otherwise,
well, go ahead.
I have a tradition that we do these days. It's a favorite movie that I like to watch sometime during Lent. It's Chocolat. I don't know if you've ever seen it, with Johnny Depp.
Yep.
And Judy Dench.
Yeah.
Yeah. It takes place in a little French community, and it takes place during Lent, and she opens a chocolate shop in the midst of all this. So it's got all the tradition stuff that I grew up in, and you know, it's like I value the tradition I grew up in. That's part of who I am. The Catholic imagination that Andrew Greeley spoke of. If you grew up Catholic like you did, Cindy and I did, you know, we came up with this whole. There's this whole imagination that is part of our growing up culture, and so that has to be a part of who each of us is, and it's for the better. It's just that when you grow up, you see things differently, and you see perspectives differently, and so sometimes when you grow up, you might tell a story differently than you did as a child. And
right.
I'll see more of the lesson in it and the intent in it and not be so hung up on the details.
I agree. And that base, it's still a foundation. It's still what we, you know, it's deep inside of us. You know, we can never, I don't think we can ever forget that or totally throw it out the window, because it's ingrained in us somewhere, somehow.
And the reason that I think that the pieces that stayed with us, I think those are the pieces that resonate with us.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that don't resonate with us anymore, we let go of.
Yeah, I think I think of Albert Einstein, and I don't know what his, I doubt he had any religion, but even he could understand, and I think he's credited with saying, you either believe we live in a friendly universe or you don't. So either the universe is on your side in a loving way to support and nurture you, or it's not. And for me, that's a fundamental decision that we have to make about life, that we're either here for a good purpose, or we're just here as kind of lost souls. And I think even those who don't believe in a God still have a, like you said, Cindy, still have a divine connection, whatever they call it or don't call it, that proves that life is on our side if we'll allow that. So it's a sort of a Christian-Jewish holiday kind of time, but I don't think it matters as much as what your own connection is with this wonderful source of life. I think that's what I cherish. I teach tax regulations as a business, and that's a pretty boring, dry subject for most people. But I've learned that even in those situations, there are people who need hope and something to look forward to. So even there, I talk about how important they are to life and what a difference their lives make. And so it doesn't matter to me what arena I'm in. It just matters to me to I think that's as much of missionary work as what I was raised to believe was really missionary work, and that is just to encourage other people and find opportunities to make a difference in other people's lives.
Okay. I just want to jump in on, just for a piece of trivia. You had mentioned Albert Einstein and his religious beliefs.
Yeah.
He actually considered himself agnostic at some point. He said he wasn't an atheist. He wasn't agnostic. He believed in a pantheistic God of Baruch Spinoza. And basically that he believed it, you know, not in our God that concerns with our feats and our actions and stuff. But, that's what he had said. And I'm kind of looking on Wikipedia here, which isn't the end-all be-all, but he also considered himself a religious non-believer, which I find kind of interesting, too, in the way he worded that. He was raised Jewish, and he had attended a Catholic elementary school. So he had it all the way across the board as well, in a very diverse upbringing. And yet, you know, we look at his creations and say, how, you know, some people say, how could you possibly create this without thinking there's something greater than you in there? But, you know, it doesn't really matter. He was serving his purpose of what he thought he was supposed to be doing at that point. So it's kind of cool to look at the journeys of people.
I think there's an inner knowing in us that we're born with. You know, whether you call it instinct, we come here with these inspirations, these ideas that we're supposed to do something. Whether you call it sacred contracts, whether you call it, you know, however you want to explain it, energy, soul, spirit. It's there's something in us that's alive. I grew up on a farm, so for me, breath is spirit, and the thing that is common to all of us. And you know, if a little calf doesn't start breathing after it's born, it's gone. And so whatever it is that allows us to be alive and to speak and walk and talk and think and breathe without being plugged into an electrical outlet, that's a source of life that's in every single one of us.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this connection there.
I think also that there's, I mentioned earlier the mystery of who we are. I really think that for most of us, we don't get a written set of instructions when we come into this world that says, and now, Vivian, this is what you're going to do with your life. And I have a nephew who's an architect, and he knew from the time he was a child he was going to be an architect, and he's an architect. But most of us, I don't know about most of us, but a lot of us, it's more mysterious than that. And I like to honor that mystery of not knowing exactly what that purpose is, but following whatever attracts us in terms of curiosity, enjoyment, fun, all these elements, I think, are part of our purpose. And so even if I get to the end of my life and someone says, well, Vivian, what was your purpose? And even though it might, you know, I didn't think it was my life purpose to teach tax regulations, you know, But the extraordinary joy I have when I'm doing that, and I know that life is accomplishing other things, I just, at the end of my life, I want to just be able to look back and say, that was fun. I followed the fun. I followed the things that interested me, and that was awesome. And I think that's as spiritual of a path as can be hoped for in life. Even if you get a calling to serve life in a particular way, I still think the question is always going to be, was I drawn to that, and did I do what was in my heart to do? Because now I'm going to linger a little bit, but I was raised to do what my parents did, and that was to be my life calling. And so my parents were religious missionaries. So when I grew up, I went to school to become a missionary. And there was all kinds of bad juju if you didn't follow the family mantra, but I had to learn that my purpose is not your purpose and your purpose is not my purpose. And I'm on purpose. And that is very different from what I thought that would look like.
Yeah. You know, I had Joy, who was on a couple weeks ago about her Mind the Portal book, and it launched that the fantasy thing, has put Einstein into the book. And, you know, I kind of like she jumped in on our chat, which is why I want to come back to that just momentarily.
Yeah.
And she said that Einstein said, "I'm not interested in the phenomenon or that phenomenon. I want to know God's thoughts, and the rest are mere details." I kind of I really like that. I'm going to have to kind of incorporate that into our affirmation this week. So, I'm sorry, I apologize.
He had a direct connection with divinity, regardless of how we might analyze it. You cannot create without having a direct line to the source of life. I forget who said, imagination is evidence of the divine. And I think that Einstein was able to demonstrate that, because even according to what I've read about him, he got his greatest revelations when he was sleeping or, I don't know if he meditated, but taking a nap. Sometimes he would wake up with knowing something in a way he hadn't known it before. So I think that connection is that's resurrection living, in my opinion.
Yes.
So how do you have your connection to this being that you is a part of your life? As you mentioned, that meditation, do you have a practice? Is there, you know, we're mentioning various churches, mosques, temples. What do you do to make that connection at this point?
This is Anne again.
How do you make that connection in your life? Is there a practice that you have now? We've talked about some of our past, growing up and what we did as, various worship times, locations, things like that. Is there something now that you do to make that connection to your own spirituality as opposed to what you did growing up?
Yes. Well, now that I know that every breath I take is connected to the divine, living is right in there. But there are things like going for morning walks. There are, singing lyrics of songs always appeal. Always, I paid attention to those. There's laughing. There's writing. And when I sit down to write, I know that I get what comes out on the page isn't necessarily what I started intending to write. I just start writing, and whatever comes out on a particular subject or response to some question or curiosity that's roaming around my head, it's always interesting to go back and read it, because it wasn't necessarily what I started out to write. I always said, in fact, I wrote about that once, that my life is like a Sudoku puzzle. You know, I find one right answer at a time, and they're all over the place, not in any sequential order. But when I look back, it's like, oh, I can use that for that. Oh, that comes in really handy right now. Or, oh, and then you see the whole piece done, but all you do is one mm-hmm. right move at a time and get to finish it up. And life is never finished.
And they're all right moves. It's really, to me, it's very important, and it's sad when I hear people say, oh, I should never have done that because, but they're all, just like Ann said, we don't understand them all, and some of them are painful to ourselves or to others, but when we can see the whole puzzle finished, that's when we know that our lives have served a great purpose. And so I really like to encourage people. And my own practice is two things. Number one, right when I get up in the morning, the first thing I do is I do my three gratitudes. And that's just me looking up at the world and saying, thank you for another day. Thank you. Thank you. So I do three thank yous. And then I get some hot lemon water, which is good for digestion. And I go sit, and I have a wonderful writing studio, and I go sit in there in my jammies, I sip on my water, and then within a few minutes, I will go into what I call my quiet time, and even my husband knows, leave Vivian alone when she's in her quiet time, because he knows that there's important things going on. And the only thing I do in that space is I listen. I listen to what's going on inside of me, and often I will hear things. Sometimes I will hear a new story starting. Sometimes I will hear a song, and sometimes I'll just get the very thing that I need to know for that particular moment, that particular day, an answer to a question that's been puzzling me, even practical things like what should I charge for this course I'm getting ready to present. And so mostly I listen. I talk a lot too, but in my quiet time, mostly I listen.
Okay.
How about you?
Right now my main practice is there is a spiritual community I'm a part of that I try to attend once a week. I also end up there for a prayer circle during the week. I admit that daily I don't do as much as I'd like to do sometimes, and I'm trying to change that because I know that if I don't stop even for 5 minutes in the morning, my day somehow seems very hurried. And out of sorts. For me, God talks to me a lot in the shower.
Yeah.
You know, or doing other, brushing my teeth, whatever. And it seems like I've gotten the message a couple of times. It's like, well, you don't stop long enough elsewhere, so I got to get you where I can.
It's also like, water cleansing.
What was that?
There's also something about water cleansing.
Yes.
So, yeah. So it just clears away the clutter and lets the mm-hmm. divine messages come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's where mine is at this point. Writing is one of them. When I take the time, and I can do a lot of stream of consciousness writing and come up with mm-hmm. answers and things. My 12-step program is very much a spiritual practice. For me, every day that I admit, in the case of traditional, I'm powerless over this substance, I'm not really, I'm only powerless if I don't turn it over and get it away from me. That's to me where it's, that comes in, and, the tradition of that has been part of my practice as well.
That's important. It is. I think I also call it
surrender. There's a sense in which I let go of what I think it should happen, and I try to remain open to anything that comes my way. I'm not real good at it, so you know, but I do understand it, and I'm a lot happier when I allow that rather than when I fight against something because it doesn't suit me in the moment. But
mm-hmm.
It's also a lot of fun, really.
Nice.
There's also the element about...
I do you want to jump in real quick? In case anybody wants to join us, call in 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. Put comments in the chat room, whatever that you might want to do on that. So, okay, Ann.
Another practice is making sure I'm reading something that makes me feel good every day. So I get a couple emails
mm-hmm.
in the morning
mm-hmm.
that are uplifting that I subscribe to. So they're very short, but it's always some good thoughts that come into my message box so that they just kind of jumpstart my thought process. And I'm usually reading a book or two, you know, on something that interests me. And but, yeah, it's feeding the brain and feeding my spirit with words, again, that are helpful.
Okay. So is there any part of this that we did not cover that you wanted to talk about today? When I gave you the topic at the, you know, earlier this week and for Vivian more today.
Because Ian forgot to mention it.
That's okay. No, it's okay. It's okay. It's not a big deal. And I, you know, the shoulda, coulda, woulda, you know, should I... I reminded you yesterday that I have, you know, it's okay. It's all, you know, I believe it's in the time that it's supposed to be because maybe you weren't supposed to prepare too much or think about it too much because it is what, you know, as we are.
Well, earlier in the week, we were not scheduled to be together this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that was decided a few hours ago that we were going to go take a break and go do something fun this afternoon. Yeah, so here we are together, and this qualifies as doing something fun. And
cool.
We're sitting in a parking lot in Butler, Wisconsin, in Ann's car, and this is just a hoot. This is fabulous fun. We were just in the crystal shop having a good time, so yeah.
I thought you were outside. I thought so.
Yeah. Well, this. You know, the marvels of technology. And you're right. It put us in place where we could do this at this time. So, yeah, it's all good.
Excellent. So did we miss anything that you wanted to bring up that you thought we should bring up?
I don't know if it's appropriate, but I could give the names of my two published books.
Well, I think we'll, if there's not any other stuff, then I think I will let you, you know, if people want to contact you regarding where you are, I'm not seeing anything in the chat room at the moment.
Yeah.
Although I just lost the connection to my board, so I'm rebooting something. So, yeah, go ahead if you want to let people know how to reach you, you know, how does that book fit into this practice that you're doing right now would be great.
Well, the thing is that when you stay open to whatever life wants to bring and you listen, you get all kinds of insight, and that's also been the key feature of my writing life, and that has been listening to stories that develop, and I think part of listening has to be the willingness to take action on what you hear,
or what you think that life is prompting you to do. And so that's how my stories have come about. And my name is Vivian Probst, and I have a website, vivianprobst.com. And Cindy mentioned that she's a writer, and I know Anne's a writer. And I think it's just magnificent to take on a journey, a writing journey, even if you don't know where the end is going to be. But you honor, it's just like you
honor,
it's like
life
is over. Yeah. You were breaking up a bit there. Did we lose you, Cindy?
No, you've got me. It was the reconnection to the studio that did that. I apologize.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, so I don't know what else to say. I have a couple books out, and one is called Death by Roses, which is a romantic comedy novel, and the other one is called I Was a Yo-Yo Wife, and that's my memoir. And if there's any interest, those are available at vivianprobst.com.
And she writes a blog there, too.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
You got to do what you love to do, right, Cindy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And my site is, I also write a blog. It's annwondra.com. And my most recent post is called Humbled Again, about how I wrote something and somebody reminded me that, oh, the time zone in Eastern time is really not what you said it was. Yeah, the universe has a sense of humor. Anyway, so annwondra.com and wonderspirit.com are my two sites to find out more. And thank you for letting us be part of this today.
Yes.
Or inviting us to be part of it.
No problem.
My recommendation is to watch Chocolat. Yeah.
Yes.
That's a really good, Saturday night. And make sure you have chocolate when you're watching it.
There you go.
I don't know that you can watch the movie without chocolate.
Yeah. And then there's eye candy. I mean, who doesn't like the eye candy in there with Johnny Depp and so there we go.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at our what I want to put in for our affirmation as well before you all leave. And what I'm looking at is coming out of that. I'd like to leave everybody with affirmations too.
Yeah.
And instead of an I am today, I'm going to change it just slightly. I know that my connection to my spiritual practice is right for me now, and the rest is mere details.
Ooh, very good.
Very nice.
Okay. There we go. So I've posted that in the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations chat for this week, and invite you or anyone else to come in there and join the conversation or put any other comments in there. Contact information that if you'd like for today, and I just realized that the date on it was incorrect, so I'm correcting that as we have stuff last week's in there. Topic is right, mind you, but sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
And put any comments in there.
Oh, Cindy, it's so much fun to spend time with you.
Thank you. You as well. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your day as however it is that you end up spending it.
We will. You too.
Thanks. I'll put you back on hold if you'd like to listen to the rest of the few minutes remaining of the show. So.
Okay.
Thanks.
Same.
So we were talking with Vivian Probst and Anne Wondra. And, our spirituality, our spiritual purpose, our purposeful spirituality as our topic for today. There's a couple other things that I'd like to remind you, talk to you on. You can reach me at Purpose Talk Radio purposetalkradio.com is the website, but Cindy at purposetalkradio.com, C-I-N-D-Y at P-U-R-P-O-S-E-T-A-L-K-R-A-D-I-O.com. You know, this week, the other thing that I'm participating in and being a part of is that book launch for Mind the Portal that we had talked about a couple of weeks ago with J.S. DeVive, and otherwise known as Joy. And, you know, it's kind of fun over there. There's not as much going on as with, but it's being a part of a different world and a different community. And it's kind of similar to this spiritual stuff, which, you know, I don't know how to explain that, but it kind of is, because I'm getting to be, I think, outside of my box and outside of the world that I'm in on a day-to-day life. So it's nice doing that. You can join us over on Facebook. If you like to reach me other ways, there's other things that I'm a part of. Like I said, editing, writing, that's all part of my purpose beyond Purpose Talk Radio. I do bring Purpose Talk Radio to you on Fridays because I enjoy it. We do pay for the airtime, so we'd like to also get some sponsors for this. One of our sponsors right now is True Visions Travel. You can get a hold of us at truevisionstravel.com, TRUEVISIONSTRAVEL.com for any of your travel needs. We do especially cater to those that might have need some individualized service or special accommodations. What other things we have? So find me on Facebook, find me on the net, wherever it may be. Purpose Talk Radio theme song is called I Am Who I Am by the group True Trinity. Again, the vocalist on that is Jillian Clark, the writers Rachel Grace and myself. Next week we will be discussing taking you all on a guided meditation for those who might want to, you know, look at their purpose a little differently. Whether they know exactly where they're supposed to be and what they're doing right now, or if they want to try to figure out what it is. When I do those, I do it out of a spirit-guided meditation as well, meaning that I don't plan those. I let my conscious and unconscious part of me guide those. So I'd like to you on that journey next week. If you'd like to be on that, join us at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. in the UK. So until next week, I hope that you share the link to this show and invite your friends, family, anyone else that you think might get something out of this show. I invite you to share the link to this one, which is at the same one where you had the original broadcast. And then in doing so also, lost my studio again. In doing so, the wonderful parts of this can be shared with others as well. Feel free to comment over at Purpose Talk Radio Conversations on Facebook. Also, if you have any questions, comments, or feedback when you do listen to the archive or after the show is broadcast. So for now, I can't get to our song, so I'm going to stall for just another moment here as we get back into the what I need to. And I apologize for that. I don't know why we've been losing internet connection here so much. And I understand, too, some people in the chat room are not able to get through for some reason, and I don't know what that's about either, under your name. So what you can always do is send a message through Facebook on the Purpose Talk Radio page if something is not coming through exactly as you'd like it to. So one of the things do we have coming up? Oh, on Mother's Day, I know I will have a couple of mothers in different aspects of their life sharing what it means to be a mom. And some new moms, some moms that are, you know, more experienced in life and why they chose to take the path that they did, such as being a stay-at-home mom or working, adoption, things like that. We're hoping that several moms will be a part of that. And I'm hoping my own mom might come on the show.
Okay.
Working on her. With that, to see that possibility. If you'd like to be a part of that, again, I invite you to connect with me and see what we can do to get you into that discussion. So it's kind of a little bit of a panel discussion again as well. So other than that, we don't have any specific scheduled at this point. We've got a couple in the hopper, but we'll move forward from that. As we close the show, moving into, again, I am who I am. I wish you all so many blessings, and I thank you for listening. Have a great week, however, and a great day, however you celebrate it. That's a possibility.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.